Court is ready to hear argument in 060952, Eduardo Garcia Bazan versus the Honorable. It's in re Eduardo Garcia Bazan.
Mr. McKinnis will present argument for the relator. The relator has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Everybody. I'm here representing Mr. Bazan. Mr. Bazan was a constable who was tried and convicted of a felony. His case, criminal case, is on appeal.
What kind of felony was it?
It was a theft by a public servant.
What did he do?
Allegedly.
They alleged that he had purchased a stolen car, and there was he got a hold of a car that was not, he wasn't supposed to.
And what's the status of the criminal
case? On appeal, pending appeal.
Where and for how long?
13th District Court of Appeals, Corpus Christi. It's approximately been on appeal since, I guess it's been getting close to a year, 9 months or so. Yes, Your Honor.
Why did the state say it was bribery?
There's no allegations of bribery. They were just quoting, as I read the state's brief, I believe they were quoting from a particular article of the Article 16, Section 2 of the Constitution, Your Honor, which says that laws shall be made to exclude from office persons who have been convicted of bribery, perjury, forgery, or other high crimes. In the Exhibit 3, I believe it is, petition for mandamus shows the indictment. It shows that it's theft by a public servant. It was not bribery, Your Honor.
But it's a high crime.
Yes, it is. That is pending on appeal. The thing that makes this complicated, or the thing that gives us a position, is Section 87.001 of the Local Government Code, which says, and I quote, "An officer may not be removed under this chapter for an act the officer committed before election to office." Chapter 87, Local Government Code. The trial court judge purports to suspend, first to remove him from office, remove the relator from office, and then to suspend him pending appeal under Chapter 87 of the Government Code. As the facts indicate, and I believe it's undisputed, the indictment alleges an offense that occurred prior to Mr. Bazan taking office.
Doesn't that conflict with the Texas Constitution, where it states that laws shall be made to exclude from office persons who have been or shall hereafter be convicted list of things, including high crimes?
Justice Medina, at first glance, it would appear to conflict, but that section which you're reading from, Article 16, Section 2 of the Constitution, has to also be read in conjunction with Article 16, Section 7 of the Texas Constitution, which is entitled Removal of Officers When Mode Not Provided in Constitution. And that says, and I'll quote, it's very short, "The legislature shall provide by law for the trial and removal from office of all officers of the state, the modes of which have not been provided in this Constitution." And what it basically boils down to is that if there's a provision in the Constitution to remove an office holder, that controls. If there's not, then you have to look to the law that the legislature enacts.
So does resolution of the case depend upon whether the crime he committed was a high crime?
No.
Why not?
Because even assuming arguendo that it is a high crime, the only way you get to the removal, Article 16, Section 2 says that laws shall be made. It doesn't say how they're supposed to be made. It doesn't say this is the provision to be made. Section 7 says the legislature shall provide by laws when the Constitution doesn't provide for a mechanism or laws to remove the person. So in this particular case, there is no provision in the Constitution that provides for removal of a constable specifically. He's lumped in under the no modes have been provided in this Constitution. That being the case, we go to Chapter 87, perhaps, or we go to Quo Warranto under Chapter 66 of the Civil Practice and Remedies Code.
You said there's no provision specifically for constables. Is that what your argument is?
That's correct. There is a provision under Chapter 87 of the Local Government Code which provides for removal of county officials, and the constable is included in that list under the code. But as in the Constitution itself, there are specific provisions of the Constitution that provide for removal of certain high officers. For example, in some of the cases that the appellee has cited, in Re Brown, for example, that was a case where they were trying to discipline a judge under Article 5, Section 1A of the Constitution. That section provides for a specific procedural mechanism to remove a judge.
Well, what's the purpose of Article 16, Section 2?
Section 2, it states it's to give the court the authority. It allows the legislature authority to enact laws in compliance with that. But it does not set forth the specific mechanism by which a office holder will be removed.
Didn't we cross that bridge in N. Ray Laughlin and N. Ray Bates? We said that if they're unconstitutionally disqualifying, then they really don't meet the forgiveness doctrine, or the Constitution does prevail.
Well, I would, Your Honor, say that all of those cases, N. Ray Laughlin, for example, was a case where lawyers were trying to remove a judge. Once again, we get to remove the judge. The case arose under Article 15, Section 6, which applies directly to judges, and the mechanism to remove the judge is provided for expressly in the Constitution. In the case at hand, there is no provision in the Constitution that says to remove a constable, this is how you do it, 1, 2, 3. But there was in the Laughlin and in the Brown case. All of those cases, I submit, arise under Section, they're enacted under Section 7 of Article 16, which says, let me state that again. The Constitution, with these cases like Laughlin and cases like Brown, they sought to remove judges under specific sections of the Constitution, where those sections provided the mechanism on how to remove the judge.
Well, how can a constable be removed then if it's not specifically stated in the Constitution?
The constable is removed one of two ways, either under Chapter 87, where you can file a petition for removal of the local government code, as you can for any other county official. They name by position the county holders. The other mechanism to remove a constable would be under Chapter 66 of the Civil Practice and Remedies Code, which is quo warranto, where if the district attorney or the attorney general believes that someone is conducting office without proper authority.
When did your client first take office? When was he first elected? And the alleged crime happened in October of 01. The re-election was in November of 04. What's the indication of when he was first elected?
I believe it was even before then, Your Honor. We don't have any.
But he was holding office at the time the alleged theft occurred.
That's correct. But then he was re-elected, and under
the conviction was for theft by a public servant.
Correct,
so.
Your Honor. But he was re-elected. He was charged with committing a crime in October 2001. That's what the indictment said. He wasn't indicted till 2006. From 2001, he gets reelected in 2004.
Well, the crux to me is 001, and it's language about committed, let me find the language, before election to office. Does that mean the first election or only the most recent election?
The Talamantes case with the Texas Supreme Court, Talamantes right. versus Strauss, construed it to believe after, you know, every time he's elected.
But so is that right?
I believe it's correct. I believe that the legislature has written Section 87.001 in such a way that it's a little quirk in the system. It's a quirk, and if they would...
Before election to office, and I can imagine certainly a circumstance where somebody's a private citizen, they win a contested election, people that didn't want them to win are mad at them, so they indict them for something that happened before the election. But it doesn't say before being reelected. It says before election to office. And in your guy's case, if he was elected in 2000 or before, his election to office, we would, if we just said, when was he elected to office, we would think 2000 or before.
Well,
wouldn't say, well, he was elected to office for 2000 and 2004.
Your Honor, but by definition, one cannot be reelected without being elected.
Right.
He was elected, and he was actually elected again. And the section doesn't say, you know, save and accept when he'd been reelected. We're looking at a code that the legislature has drafted, and that's what it says. It just says if he's elected, and he was elected. Now he was reelected too, but he was elected.
If he had been charged and convicted during the same term that the crime was committed.
Yes, Your Honor.
Then you agree he could be removed from office?
If he was charged and convicted, oh, he hadn't been reelected in the interim, yes.
And then he could run again. I suppose.
If he got his problems cleared up and was no longer had a felony conviction, yes.
And then he couldn't be removed. So it seems to sort of depend on whether when things happen as opposed to whether they happen.
Correct. Correct. I would agree with that.
Constable terms are 4 years?
Yes, Your Honor.
So his current term expires, I guess, the end of 08?
That's correct.
Does he intend to run for re-election in 08?
If he has his problems cleared up, I would imagine he would.
He's stayed in office? Or
he's been in office this time.
Is there any argument that this issue shouldn't be resolved until it's worked its way through the appellate cycle?
Well, the thing that I would say that would not be appropriate, Your Honor, Justice Medina, for the reason that we're talking about that's before this honorable court, the workings of sections 87.031 and 87.032. 87.031 says you can remove them from office when they get convicted, and 87.032 says you can suspend them during the pendency, and that's what they're trying to do. The thing that trumps all that, though, is 87.001 says don't apply this. You can't use it to somebody who gets reelected, who gets elected to office. So I would think that at some point in time, this issue's got to be confronted by the court. It's going to come up again. One another. It's come up before in the past. And the cases that my learned opponent, has quoted in her brief, the Brown case, the Barr case, and the Laughlin cases, those are all cases where the Constitution provides specific mechanisms for removing that particular office holder. The Constitution talks about how you remove a judge. The Constitution talks about how you remove a governor. How do you remove these high officers? The Minton versus Pettis case, which has been discredited by the Texas Supreme Court, that was a case that involved a county commissioner. And in that case, they said, well, even though the code says that, they didn't really mean that. That's in essence what they said. 87.001, it was a codification, and codifications don't change the existing law that existed prior to the recodification. But in the Fleming Foods case, they came versus Rylander, the Texas Supreme Court, you all, came back and said that's not the case. That if there's a change after codification, you go with the change. The law is what the law says it is. And I acknowledge that this is an unusual...
Well, I mean, this is difficult. We don't want to encourage office holders to commit high crimes and misdemeanors and bribery the last year in office because they know they're up for re-election and therefore nothing can happen to them. And if we interpret 87001 like you say, what would discourage them from other than the fact that they may get put in a pen finally, and I guess if under your authority, if he's unsuccessful and if he weren't probated, he would serve the rest of his term from prison.
No, once his conviction would become final, he got community supervision, Your Honor.
Right.
But once the conviction became final, at that point in time, it would be appropriate to remove him from office.
Under what statute?
Well, the appeal would no longer be pending, so they could remove him under the 87.031.
Not if 87001 says...
I'm sorry. They could remove him under a quo warranto proceeding under Chapter 66 of the Civil Practice and Remedies
Code. So you think the legislature would say, if they knew in advance that this conviction was going to be upheld, that it's okay to have a constable serve who is a felon, someone who... Right, that's what the policy is all about because the electors thought it was okay? I mean, is that the policy?
I think that the policy that the legislature was trying to enact is that a person is entitled to his day in court and to exhaust his appellate remedies before being painted with a conviction. In this particular case, where the voters have taken it upon themselves to put this person back into office, they want the appellate process to play out before he's removed from office.
Did your client's alleged crime come to light before he was reelected? Was it known to the public at that point?
I do not know that. I believe they are alleging that the crime happened in 2001.
Right.
And I think that he was discovered. I don't know that. I think it was in 2004. He was indicted in 2006. And that's part of the problem too.
So we don't know if voters had this in their mind when they went to the polls in 2004.
I don't know. There was no evidence at that point. I'm down to my 18 seconds, unless I call a timeout or throw a pass out of bounds to stop the clock. I'm going to run out of time. I have to answer any other questions that you may have now, or I can direct them in rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from the state.
Please, the court. Ms. Ho will present argument for the real party in interest.
Please, the court. First thing I wanted to point out was the two inaccuracies in the little synopsis, which was in today's, I hate to start out this way. There are two inaccuracies in the little summary that's post-published for today, and I believe both of them have been brought out. One is, apparently the court wasn't concerned with the first one, it does say that this was for a conviction that occurred years before his re-election, and I think that's been clarified. The conviction wasn't years before. The conviction was after the re-election. And we will submit that there was certainly no great public knowledge of the incident before the re-election.
Why would that matter?
Excuse me?
Why would that matter?
It would matter for the if the Laughlin standard were upheld, the forgiveness doctrine, that if the voters knew about it and elected him anyway, that would then it's considered forgiven. And I don't know that that applies in a situation where the party is constitutionally ineligible to hold office, which we are submitting is the standard here.
Why was there such a delay from the time of the alleged incident and the time of an indictment? There's like 5 years.
Because the district attorney's office was not aware of it until it went before the grand jury, until there was enough evidence to present to the grand jury. So are we saying if a person commits a heinous crime and is successful in concealing it until his re-election, you know, I'm free? That doesn't make either good policy or just common sense.
Well, the relator says you've still got quo warranto. You have quo warranto available to you in that situation.
We do, but not until, as he said, it's a final conviction or, he has to be ineligible. And if he has not been finally convicted, then he's not.
So 031 doesn't kick in until there's a final.
Yes. And just conviction. As a matter of fact, Constable Bazan apparently had his TCLOS license revoked last December. We did not find out about it until last week, and quo warranto, that which, since he no longer has a valid Texas peace officer's license, he is ineligible to hold the office of constable, and quo warranto has been filed in that case, but which could make this moot before before this court finally rules on it. But then again, it's also in flux, so at the moment it is not a moot situation, and we would like very much to have this situation resolved, because it does pose some conflict as to whether 80801 trumps 8601 trumps 8631 and 32.
This statute goes back to at least 1879.
Yes, it does.
Right after the Constitution was adopted.
Correct.
And the only difference. The only principal difference between Chapter 87 and the 1879 statute was that this 8701 was at the end, now it's at the beginning. But it's hard to see that it could be any clearer than this. They're saying that here's all this process for convicting officers and removing them from office, and then you get to the end of the statute and it says, but no officer shall be, and it even said prosecuted or removed. So it was even broader, for any act he may have committed prior to his election to office. It just seems to me that you can read them together, because this is just an exception to the rest of the statute.
Well, for one thing, we would say the Williams case addressed that back in 1941, and when it was the prosecution, and the court's comment then was it was the most monstrous proposition that the writer of the opinion ever heard advanced, that you could be elected and therefore all bets were, you couldn't even be prosecuted. You could murder somebody, get elected, then, you know, and it is not any common sense at all for that.
We can't rule out that the legislature may have intended a monstrous situation.
It may have.
I mean, it is just clear as a bell.
Some interesting things over the course of the year.
And it's in 1879, and it even cites the constitutional provision that says the legislature shall make laws. And so it looks to me like that they were doing what they thought was right.
However, it does not necessarily there are other ways to remove an officer other than quo warranto. And under 86 and the predecessor statutes, the removal statutes, one way is a conviction, but you can also remove an officer without him actually being convicted. And you can remove him for things other than the constitutional prohibitions, which, and I really don't see how anything the legislature does can trump the Constitution without specifically saying so. It is true that the Constitution said, well, we'll provide these ways to remove certain officials, and then the legislature will do the rest. That's common sense. They can't do everything. And the Constitution shouldn't be too specific. But it also, then it, the article that we're, we say is the conflict, 16, Section 2, doesn't specifically say removal. It says they may not be... and I've gone blank, but it is, they're excluded, just excluded, whether they're removed or they can't even hold office. And if they get in office somehow or other, they're still constitutionally excluded. They're not eligible to hold that office. And that's a different proposition than removal. And our argument is that removal statutes don't trump the fact that the Constitution said that law shall be made to exclude these particular offenses.
Was Talamantes rightly decided?
Talamantes is an odd opinion. It's, I counted, 115 words, and it's not particularly specific. We know that he was removed for...
So is it clear to your mind or not that 87001 applies to re-election as well as the initial election?
I had to play the devil's advocate. I think it may well do so. I would not say that it doesn't. I would like to say, no, it absolutely doesn't, but I think that it may. And for the reason that was mentioned, the purpose apparently of 001 is to prevent somebody who doesn't like a person elected finding something, digging up something to get him out of office, even though the voters have specifically decided that this is the person they want. If they could, for instance, come up with a malfeasance of office, which doesn't necessarily have to be a crime. It's the because a certain thing was mishandled, a contract was given that some of the people didn't like, and they could make a case that this was malfeasance of office. He didn't investigate it well enough. It wasn't necessarily a crime, but you could make a case that it was malfeasance of office. And you can be removed under other sections of 86 for that.
It has to be a crime. It's got to be. You don't get removed unless it's a felony or misdemeanor.
And I apologize, I don't have those other sections with me. There are other sections of the local government code.
I'm just looking at 87031, and it says it's got to be a conviction for a felony or misdemeanor.
That's correct. That's a conviction. But I'm saying there are other sections of between 001 and 032, there are some other sections for removing an official from office that do not require a conviction.
Your brief refers generally to other constitutional provisions that exclude convicted persons from holding office. You don't cite them specifically, and I've kind of spelunked, and I think I've found the ones you were referring to, but do you have these specific article and section numbers before? If not, that's all right. But
not with me.
I think
no.
I found
I'm sorry.
It. Okay.
What is a high crime?
I believe that the general definition of that is a felony.
Okay.
It sounded like you were suggesting that 87.001, in its reference to removing an officer, is not as broad as Article 16, Section 2 of the Constitution, which refers to excluding persons from office. But if the legislature hadn't made a law, if you're right, that's as broad as excluding, on what basis should we act to affect the more broad language in the Constitution? You're not suggesting that we write a statute and then enforce it, are you?
No.
Is there a statute that is as broad as you're saying Section 2 is?
I think Section 2 covers. It excludes from office a person who has been convicted of, has been or will be convicted of either before, and that I think the wording of that has been or will be indicates before election to office or after election to office.
But the section also says that law shall be made to affect that purpose.
Correct.
Suggesting that presume the legislature should make such laws.
Yes.
If the legislature has not made such laws, has the provision been effectuated?
I believe that it has by 031 and 32. I believe that is the effectuating the exclusion from office, because anybody convicted of under 031 or 32 also is going to fall under the provisions of the Constitution.
As you pointed out, those provisions refer to removal, not exclusion.
Correct.
I thought that was the distinction you were drawing.
Well, I would have to go back to the election code and hope that there is something in the election code, and I believe there is, but I apologize, I can't give you a cite, that excludes persons who have previously, felons, from being elected to certain public office, well, to public office. But
reading all this together, couldn't we say that, yes, we have to make laws excluding from office persons who've been convicted, and that law is quo ronto. And then we also have what has come to us now as Chapter 87, and this involves trials that may take place during an officer's term, and if the offense and the conviction happen during the term, you can remove him, but not otherwise. You have to go with quo ronto, and that harmonizes the whole thing.
If that's the case, there's no point in even having Section 31 and 32.
Sure there is. If it all happens in the same term, you can, in that same, very same order, remove him from office.
But a person who is convicted of high crimes, bribery and so forth, is not even eligible. And it's our opinion that that's
there's a way to remove him, right? There's a way to remove him.
There's a way to remove him, but not immediately, while Section 31 and 32 provides for immediate removal.
Right. But the legislature could say, well, if it happens during the same term of office, then it ought to be immediate, because you ought to get him out of there. He done it while he was on duty. But if it happened before, go file quo ronto and go through the usual process.
But happening before is not going to help us at all, because he still is in the term of, as Constable was on, it wasn't found out until this term of office, so he's still serving. You could possibly have a constable who's been convicted of murder or robbery, or theft. That doesn't give the public a good warm feeling that the person is enforcing the law who has been convicted by a jury of his peers. And I would point out that once a person is convicted, he no longer has a presumption of innocence. There is an appellate process, but now the burden shifts on him to show why his conviction should not be upheld.
But just so I'll be clear, your position is that it ought to be immediate, because he can be removed.
It ought to be immediate, and it's in certain where it's appropriate. The trial court judge does not have to suspend it. He can suspend if in the appropriate case. He can suspend let the appellate process play out.
But you could have him removed in as little time as it took to get a quo ronto.
You certainly could. Yeah. Except you can't do the quo ronto until it's finished. So meanwhile, you can have somebody who's convicted shortly after he's elected and serve out another 3+ years with a felony conviction over his head and certainly a lack of confidence in the public. And that's why there's a reason for removing him. If he is found, if he's overturned on an appeal, then the constable or the official isn't There's certainly some damage, but he can be reinstated with his full pay, and he has not been replaced. Only a temporary fill-in can be appointed to serve while on the appeal, so there's not going to be confusion about two elected officials.
O31 talks about immediate removal of persons convicted, but you agree that you have to wait the final, ultimate, once and for all.
That's correct. Convicted. Meanwhile, all we want to do is suspend him, waiting until this appellate process plays out.
What's the status of the appellate process?
Correct.
What is the status of the appellate process?
Excuse me?
What is the status of the criminal appeal?
In this case, it's just before the 13th. Nothing has happened. We don't know, but it can take a while for the appellate process to play out. And he could certainly appeal it on up to the Court of Criminal Appeals.
Has it been argued at the 13th Court?
It is at the 13th Court. It has been, as I believe my honorable opponent said, for some over a year now.
Has it been submitted?
Has the case
been
argued?
Have they had oral argument?
They have not, to my knowledge. I can't say for sure, but I have not heard that it has been, and I don't believe it has.
Would you give 87001?
I would. I think that Laughlin, if I'm quoting the right case, is the Williams case of 1941, Williams versus State, it's quoted in my brief. Court of Criminal Appeals said that we think that the legislature in the enactment of said law, which referring to the predecessor to 86001, meant that the same should apply to any offense committed relating to malfeasance of office and certainly not to make him immune to punishment for other offenses. And we would say, because the law has changed, certainly not to make him immune to removal for any other offense, for the offenses which are constitutionally prohibited. If he's convicted of something that does not make him constitutionally eligible for removal, then 80001 would...
So if it's a misdemeanor?
If it's misdemeanor.
What's the legal impact, if any, if y'all go home today, we take the case, we chew on it, contemplate, deliberate. It takes us a while to reach a decision. As a practical matter, you got the election process... You know, the political process, the judicial process here, you know, things unfold in 08, say he's, wins in March, wins in November, takes office again. Does that have any legal impact on our decision today or on this case?
I can't tell you. What I can tell you is that if this court can clarify this matter, and so we don't have to decide whether 8001 trumps 832 or whether the Constitution trumps everything, it will certainly be a great assistance in the future, because we've had a number of incidents in our part of the country with elected officials, and this generally comes up. And it would be, I think, a great service to the entire state of Texas if this could be resolved in a manner that lowly attorneys could understand and follow. What we would ask of this court is that you overrule Talamantes to the extent that it conflicts with the Constitution, with Article 16, Section 2 of the Constitution. And it may not. That case is so brief that it really doesn't let us know what the facts were and whether it is in conflict with the Constitution or not. But to the extent that it does, it should be overruled. And you apply the doctrine found in... the Laughlin case, which is commonly being known as the forgiveness doctrine, and it is correct that does specifically apply to the constitutional provision concerning judges. But in Laughlin, they specifically have said this holding is in harmony with public policy declared by the legislature with respect to other public officials in Article 5986, which is the predecessor to 86001. I believe it's the predecessor 8601, but it's one of the predecessor removal statutes. And even though it was specifically decided concerning a judge, there's just really not a lot of cases on removal that get up as far as the Supreme Court or even to the appellate courts.
And Talamantes was convicted of official misconduct. Is that a high crime?
No.
We don't know.
We don't know. That's true. But assuming it is not a felony, then it would not come under the constitutional prohibition. They may just not have liked something that the commissioner did. We just don't know. I don't know.
Is there any other questions?
No. Of course, the other thing is we would ask that you deny relief in this case.
Thank you, Counselor.
Okay. I'll be back 37 seconds.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
May it please the Court. I wanted to answer a question that was put to me a few minutes ago, and I didn't know the answer to it. And that was, when did they first know that Mr. Bazan may have committed a crime? I went back and looked at the trial record, and there was an exhibit admitted during trial which shows that the Hidalgo County Tax Office Fraud Investigation Division filed an offense report for abuse of official capacity against my client. And that was back on date offense reported, October 24th, 2001. Why did they wait for almost 5 years to prosecute it? I don't know. I live in a political part of the country. I don't know why it took 4.5, 5 years to prosecute it. But nevertheless, it did.
So does the filing, if they filed that, what was filed?
There was a official report to investigate a claim that my client had abused official capacity. In other words, there was the car incident came to light in that report.
So does that mean that the public then was aware of it?
Well, somebody was aware of it. At least the investigators were aware of it. I can't say that the public themselves knew about it because the public would have well been aware of it. The DA had promptly prosecuted it, but they waited 4.5 years to go after him.
The offense report is a public report?
No, it's not. It's not a public report, Your Honor.
But it's clear that relates to the ultimate conviction.
Yes. Yes, it's absolutely. It was admitted into evidence at the time of the trial of the underlying offense.
Let me ask a question. Follow up to Justice Heck's trying to harmonize all of this. It makes, of course, a lot of sense that if somebody is convicted of official misconduct, that is misconduct while in office, that you shouldn't be removed for things that you did before you were in office.
Yes.
So if Talamantes is correct or incorrect, maybe we don't know, but it says all the acts for which Talamantes was convicted were committed prior to his re-election. That doesn't seem to conform with what the statute says. If you took the re off of that in Talamantes, wouldn't that harmonize the statutes as Justice Heck suggested? So in other words, it doesn't matter. If you're in office, election, re-election, but you're in office, then you can't be removed for anything before you were in office, and re-election has nothing to do with it.
Correct. I would agree with that. I would think that the election, the fact that you got elected again, comes into play. I think that there's no significant distinction between election and re-election because to be re-elected, you must be elected.
Well, if that's true, then you would lose.
How so?
Well, because if your client was committing official misconduct while he held office, then he could be removed because that was not before he held office.
Well, he's been elected to the position subsequent to that point, and the offense would have committed. He was elected in 2004, and the offense occurred in 2001.
Then you're saying that the re-election does make a difference.
Well, yes. It does for
it's
purposes
the same
of statute.
Same as election is what you're saying.
Yes, Your Honor. And we might not agree with 87.001. I have the advantage of doing a lot of federal work, so I often see laws I don't agree with too much, and I can't make any rhyme or reason of them. But I would submit to the court that if there's a problem with the statute, it's really the legislature's job to come back and say, look, we need to clear this up.
What is the status of the direct appeal in the 13th Court?
It's pending. The record's been prepared, extensive record, and it hasn't gone to submission yet.
Mr. Alvarez, there was some discussion that the constable's peace officer's license has been revoked. What implication does that have with us, if any?
I don't think it has any position as to the merits of this case, has any position one way or the other, because you have an officer in office, regardless of whether you like him or not, whether he's been convicted or not, he's there, and the law has to provide, if they want to get him out, you got to go through a legal process, and I would think that this issue would need to be decided regardless of that, because there are other ways to remove an officer. Chapter 87 is just an expedited means to remove a constable or a county official from office. There are other means that are not so expedited.
Well, if he is removed because he doesn't hold a license as required by law, prior to the time we resolve this case, why wouldn't our
issue? Well, we would notify the court if that, but that might be, make this issue moot at that point, but that hasn't happened yet, and he's entitled to a jury trial on that issue. So, in closing, I would just say that there was one other statute, rather section of the Constitution, which is Article 5, Section 4, which talks specifically about Section 24, Article 5, Section 24, which talks about removals of county officials, including constables, for incompetency, official misconduct, habitual drunkenness, or other causes defined by law, that says you're entitled to charges in writing and a jury trial. So, with that, I'll ask if there's any more questions. And if not, I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Counselor. The cause is submitted. That concludes the arguments for today, and the marshal will adjourn the court.
All rise.